Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've got a Sabres game tonight. They take on the Minnesota Wild. They'll also play on Friday against Vancouver. Both games at home. And finally, Josh, I feel like I'm Rose from Titanic. It's been 84 years since the Bills have done anything at all. I knew they were on the bye week. This is not news to me. But man, it took forever for them to get back to work.
You knew it was coming, but you never knew that it was going to take this long. And it's just felt so painful. And it's not like we've had Sabres to supplement. Like, sure, we did, kind of. But they were all Sabres after dark games. And then they've been off since Saturday. So it's like,
it's been this weird dead period. Like, it's been this weird dead period.
UB won yesterday. Yeah. That's great.
Thank goodness for UB football. Yeah. It was on ESPN+. So no thanks for that.
Oh.
But at least they won. It looked really good. Was able to see some of the highlights. But it's been like this weird dead period. We'll hear back from Sal Capaccio, 10:30, coming up here in just about a half hour.
Got to find out how the San Jose Sharks arena is. Sal went to the Sabres Sharks.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to find out about.
I was more wondering about like the Bay Area weather.
Yeah. Well,
he went like the one time where it was bad.
Yeah, like the only time it was raining.
It's tough. We'll hear from Sal at 10:30. And then, of course, potential weather game coming up Sunday night against the 49ers. We'll hear from Patrick Hammer, WGRZ's chief meteorologist. He's coming up at 11:30. But for today, we're going to have a little bit of fun with both the teams, in a sense, being back. Bills, of course, don't play till Sunday, but they're going to be on the practice field today, hopefully to get a lot of injury updates
today.
Essentially, they're back. And really, they're Bill Sabres talk all day, 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on with us. We'll also be reading your tweets as well. How important are these next two games for the Sabres? We'll go over some of those road stats, by the way, for Minnesota and Vancouver. They're 1-2 in the league, Josh, in terms of their win-loss total on the road. They are unbelievable. And then with the Bills being back to work today, what are your expectations for Bills 49ers? Again, 803-0550, the number to call. And just one fun tweet here from Buffalo Williams on the Sabres. I would like them to win all the games. What are my expectations, though? Well, I would like them to win them. Finally, someone's being honest. Someone's being honest, finally. Win all 82. 82-0.
No, see, this is also a great tweet from Bills by a Billion. He tweets out the score, 38-10, and then your response, that's not by a billion, sir.
I'm keeping him in check, man.
Very good. Yeah,
keep him in check.
You got to keep the people on their toes.
He did give it an honest reason, though, for why he's not doing it. It's a good one. Listen, I don't want to give San Francisco or Cincinnati any more bulletin board material, and that's fair.
Cincinnati would see that tweet and get mad and be like, yeah, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I see, the more I've thought about the 49ers, I just, what are they playing for in this game? Right?
Their season.
Like, they're playing for their season, and that's dangerous. You are, they're in a corner. You're going after a hungry dog in a corner, and they're probably going to bite. And that's not great because they have that ability to go out there and be dominant. But
they haven't really been that this year.
Well, but most because of injuries. They've been so injured that it's like you can't worry about that because there's no one out there to go after you, right? Like there's no – I don't want to say there's no fear, but like there's not much to be scared of.
I'll be honest, I like the 38-10 score line.
Right.
If it weren't for the weather aspect.
Yeah, well.
And that's why we're going to have Patrick Hammer on, but it's like that's the one thing that I'm looking at.
It's sounding like it's just going to be cold and windy.
Yeah.
Which is the good thing. And it sounds like most of the snow is going to be south of the stadium, which also a good thing. But you never know. I mean, that weather, the winter storm last year that ended up having the game get moved, the playoff game, that was because the snowband just sat over top of West Seneca and Orchard Park for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
I drove through it. It was not fun.
It was not a good time. I will say, though, in terms of the weather aspect, a lot of it comes down to the quarterback play and if you actually think you'll get anything out of the passing attack, if all of a sudden it'll become one-dimensional. Unlike years prior, the last 2 years for the Bills, they have a rushing attack you can somewhat trust with James Cook, Ray Davis, and even Ty Johnson. I was going to say Tyquan Thornton. I was like, what is happening?
It is actually his full name, I think, is Tyquan, but I'm not sure.
But Ty Johnson. So you have, I don't want to call it a three-headed monster because it's not. It's mainly James Cook and Ray Davis that are getting the work done there, but you can trust it in terms of actually getting the job done. Cook has 10 touchdowns. He's up there with like only seven Bills running backs or something like that to ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting goal line carries as well. So that's been a big boost for him and his career. I know people with fantasy also have been loving that because that was a big issue with him is, well, he'll put up total yards. He'll have like two touchdowns. That has changed this year.
Do you think this is a type of a game where the screen game that the Bills have somehow discovered is going to get more utilized, or do you think that might go away a little bit because of the weather?
No, I feel like that's a short passing game, absolutely.
I feel like that's a type of pass that will kind of be emphasized. But I also don't know if that's viable, because think about it. Like, the Bills haven't ever had a successful screen game until this season.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to tempt fate and try to do that in a snow game or a potential winter weather game? Right? Because that'd probably be the best way you can activate your passing game, because you can't just run it with James Cook and Ray Davis the whole time. But
this also was not going to be the wind game of a few years ago in New England, where what did Mac Jones throw? Three passes?
Three times. And completed one of them.
So good.
For like two yards.
I hated that game for every second of it.
Super
not fun. Only did they – I mean, even if they would have won, I would have looked at that game with hate in my eyes.
Yeah, just one of those games where you just – you need mouthwash to – get over that one, because it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Speaking of the passing game, I don't know if Joe and Jeremy got to this. We do know who the legend of the game is going to be this weekend.
Oh.
Do you want to take a guess? It's a quarterback.
Ooh. I don't know.
Joe Ferguson.
No. Doug Flutie.
Oh, okay. That's fun. My first Bills game, I borrowed a friend's jersey, and it was a Flutie jersey, and he was the legend of the game. Didn't plan it.
I did not plan it.
Just was there, and I was like, hey, that's him. There he is.
That's the guy.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's fun. I like that.
Boston College. Not a Boston College fan here. No, not at all, actually, in any of their sports.
They're just so...
I don't like Boston sports teams.
Yeah, but they're just there. Like, out of all the Boston sports teams, they're like kind of the outlier of just like, what are you doing?
They've had weird moments. Doug Flutie winning a Heisman is kind of also a weird moment.
Yeah, that's... probably their only Heisman in school history?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would assume? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I felt safe in assuming that. But
I felt safe.
I just wanted to make sure. But no, I look at like what the Bills could do offensively this game and how they can keep going and try to build off of what they did against Kansas City. And it's just going to be such a different game because of the weather alone, or the potential of the weather, that I don't really know what to expect. Because, I mean, that run game could be great, and San Francisco is really hurt. Like, their defense is not at all what it used to be, and it's not really that big in the secondary specifically. So this would be a great game where if the weather kind of holds off, you could see the Bills go on a super big air attack. But
on the defense, too, like you brought up, we're talking a lot about Brock Purdy potentially not playing and kind of like seeing all the cloak and dagger stuff that the 49ers do, where they're like, well, you know, he threw a little bit today and it went kind of well. And then like 3 days later, it'll be like, actually, he broke his collarbone. Craziest thing happened. We've known for 3 weeks, but it's stunning. But it's mainly Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
The update there, I mean, even after the game 2 weeks ago, he didn't sound very positive, did not play this past game when they got blown out by Green Bay. I don't want to say it's likely he's not playing. I haven't heard anything, though, on if he's even practicing at all. If there's any hope that mm-hmm. he's playing, if he's not in there, that does make it even better. This team already does not give up sacks for Josh Allen. I believe they're top five in least allowed.
I don't think they gave up a sack once against Kansas City, and they're pretty decent.
Chris Jones.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Jones got completely shut down. But I just look at the 49ers defense, and the only two guys I can really point out, and I'm not even sure if I should be scared of them anymore, is Leonard Floyd and Fred Warner.
Fred Warner, yes.
I mean, Fred Warner, sure, yeah. But Leonard Floyd, you know, he was great here last year with the Bills, but...
He tapered off, though, by the end of the year.
Yeah, and he has 6.5 sacks this year. That's not...
That's really good for him.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. He has one forced fumble, too.
Nice.
But still, it's just, you know, how much are those guys going to be limited by the fact that there's no one else around them, right? Because that's the thing with, like, the best defenses in the NFL, is you can look at the players around the defense, and it's just a matchup nightmare of like, well, how are we going to cover five different guys?
Mm-hmm.
With the 49ers, it's how are we going to cover two guys? Oh, okay, cool. Great. Next question.
Well, yeah, like, that's a big thing, too. Debo Samuel, I don't think, has had a good year at all. Everything I've seen on 49ers social media is that they are deeply frustrated.
I meant the Bills' offense containing.
Oh, their weapons,
yeah,
yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean, I wasn't quite on 49ers offense yet. My bad. I worded that poorly. But yeah, I just, like, if Nick Bosa's not in, you just have to worry about Leonard Floyd and Fred Warner. And I'm sure, maybe I'm, like, discounting, you know, other parts of their line, but those are the two names that stand out to me.
I mean, Green Bay kind of ran up and down on them.
Yeah.
No real worries there. 38-10.
I mean, to be fair, Josh Jacobs is probably you could consider him a much better running back than James Cook, but at the same time, Cook has had a great season so far.
Mm-hmm. He's had a very, very good season. Again, 10 touchdowns already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. I'm not worried about this game. A few months ago, I mentioned it earlier this week, I would be very nervous about this game. Now, not much really at all.
Does this feel like kind of... Like, how worried were you when the Bills played the Colts? Well, maybe that's not... How about the Dolphins? How worried were you at the second Dolphins game?
I'm trying to remember. I feel like I wasn't all that worried at all.
Yeah.
No, because I wasn't. Because I was mentioning how this rivalry had kind of lost a little bit of its luster.
Oh, right. I forget.
Yeah.
I remember now.
I wasn't really nervous at all, actually.
Because I'm trying to think of like a team that you could compare them to where it's like, yeah, they could be good, but it's kind of injuries and they're just having an off year. Because you can't say that about the Colts. Like, the Colts are in a genuinely bad situation. And that's why, you know, when you looked at that game, it was, well, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't have a good day, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it's like, yeah, there's still like a lot of guys out there that can have a game. But, I mean, the biggest question mark, obviously, is Brock Purdy, if he's going to play. Because if he doesn't play, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, all of them, George Kittle, they're all non-factors to me. I mean, sure, Brandon Allen can go out there, but what's he realistically going to do?
Well, he's not good.
Exactly. And now if Josh Dobbs is out there, hey, mate.
Well, now we've got something.
The Pastronaut's about to take off. But, I feel bad discounting the 49ers because of how good they've been over the past few years, but it's just hard to look at this team and be scared.
And it's hard to now give them the same credit. Say the Chiefs are getting this year.
Right.
The Chiefs don't look like the team that has won, you know, the crap ton of games they have,
mm-hmm.
two straight Super Bowls. Well, they kind of do till last year, but in the sense of we're still all giving them credit because they keep winning games. The 49ers are not at that point now. Now they're losing games. And Steve tweets in, brings up a really good point. The 49ers are a desperate team, but the deck is stacked against them. They play in Green Bay, flew back to San Francisco, will go through the holiday, then fly to Buffalo, and then play in the winter elements. Pending McDermott's press conference today, they may also be playing a 90% healthy Bills team.
Yeah. I mean, I think Steve brings up a really good point there, though,
of just kind of what they're dealing with, the idea of going to Green Bay, flying back, going through the holiday, then flying all the way across the country to play in Buffalo in not great weather. I mean, this sort of also does feel like an idea that if you punch them in the mouth early, if this is, say, 10-0 at the end of the first quarter,
mm-hmm.
it could get out of hand quickly.
Yeah,
yes, they're a desperate team. They're not healthy, though. They're not playing particularly well. And again, it's at a point, I believe the line is 7 now in favor of the Bills. Am I going to touch that? No, because it's a big line, and I always get scared about that. I will only do it for the Lions at this rate. But that feels about right. Maybe if Purdy plays, it goes to 5.5. But this team has kind of shown you like what they've been all year, which is not all that great.
Right now in FanDuel, it's still 6.5.
6.5. And so
over-under at 44.5.
That feels about right.
Well,
low,
okay.
Winner game. I get it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I'm not really that worried about the 49ers. It also doesn't help, or well, it helps actually for me. McDermott is 6-0 in his coaching career off the bye.
And they're also
great. And this
team
has lost since 2020 two games in December.
Yeah. Technically, it's not. Wait, is it technically December? No.
That will be December 1st.
It will?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
December 1st.
Wow. That crept up on me. I thought Monday was. Okay.
Gotta buy Christmas gifts. It's coming up.
Oh, man. What happened to 2024?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But so there's a lot here for me to just kind of, I don't want to say I'm not excited. It's Sunday Night Football, potentially like a really cool aesthetic with the winner. I mean, I loved watching Cleveland and Pittsburgh. But overall, I'm sitting here going, San Francisco has to show me that this is even going to be a game. Not the Bills. The Bills I see every year show up after the bye week and go on these incredible runs, even when they're not healthy. And to Steve's point, as he brought up in the tweet, depending on McDermott's press conference today, you could be dealing with the healthiest you've been all year, arguably. So San Francisco, and maybe this is an arrogance as somebody covering the Bills, you got to show me you're going to show up.
Right.
Rather than me just assuming you will, and I've got to hope the Bills can get through it.
And look, there's guys that always show up on this team, right? Like George Kittle, regardless of what he's doing, he is always a legit player. Right?
And he's like, having a great season.
When he's fully healthy, he is a great blocker, and he's a great pass-catching tight end. Like, he's still, to me, one of the best, if not the best, tight end in the NFL, regardless of who he's playing with and who he's catching passes with.
Mm.
But it still goes back to if Brandon Allen is your starter on Sunday night.
Oh, this feels like a wash.
I don't
want to say that and do the whole jinx thing. I get it.
Yeah.
But like if he's playing, the game, even if Brock Purdy doesn't really feel great for the 49ers, if it's Brandon Allen, it feels even less so.
Right. But I don't want to jinx things, but there have been times where the Bills have been in the situation where they're playing a backup quarterback or they're playing a lesser quarterback, and it's just kind of this assumption that, Matt Milano's going to have a day, or Terrell Bernard's going to have a day, or the secondary is going to go crazy. But there's been times where that's been the case and the Bills haven't really stepped up to things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think back to when Skylar Thompson was playing, and it was like, that was the playoff game, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, hey, why is Skylar Thompson passing for like 200 yards on the Bills.
This brings me back, though, real quick. This does bring me back to the idea of why I do not want to play the Dolphins a third time. Skylar Thompson was out there keeping up with you. I don't want to play a division opponent a third time in the wild card round. I rest my case.
Okay. You still have me, I think. But I got to see if the Dolphins get blown out by Green Bay on Thursday, tomorrow, jeez. I'm losing it today. Weeks, days, months, they're all flying by past me.
I mean, you just found out December starts on Sunday.
Listen, I knew December started I thought December started next Monday, to be fair. It wasn't like I thought it started in like a week and a half. I thought it started next Monday. Mm. But regardless, I do want to see if like the Dolphins have a decent game against Green Bay, which I don't think they will because it's in the cold. It's Green Bay in the late November in the winter. Like, I don't think the Dolphins will have a good game, but if they do, then that will further cement my joining you on the side of playing the Broncos in the first round.
What do you think the line is right now for that game?
Judging by that question,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like 10.5.
Green Bay only favored by 3.5.
What? Oh, so it went the other way.
That is like the game I am excited for on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The game I'm excited for.
Well, to be fair, that's the game. That's the game. You're right. Because I was thinking, like the Lions are playing, but the Lions are playing the Bears. Never mind.
Oh, well, no, wait. Caleb Williams starting to look better since they fired Shane Waldron.
Yeah, but it's the Lions.
Yeah, they're gonna
and when's the last time we could say that? Like, man, but no, you're right. I didn't know 3.5. Wow.
I'm not touching it.
No.
Not a shot am I touching
it. No, because that's giving a lot of credit to Miami.
See, I think but then a lot of people are going to be like, oh, Green Bay. I mean, like you said, it's the cold. It's in Green Bay. Yeah. It's Thanksgiving. It's the Thanksgiving night. I mean, it's going to be freezing in Wisconsin, right? And then all of a sudden, this is the game that the Dolphins all of a sudden decide, nah, guys, we figured it out. We can play in the cold.
The Dolphins have secretly been training in Antarctica for the past week and a half.
We figured it out, guys. I don't really want to.
So right now, what time is that game kickoff? 8:20? The kickoff for Green Bay, the temperature, according to my phone, is going to be 25.
Oh, boy.
Currently in Green Bay, right now, it is 25 at 10:20 on Wednesday. It feels like 23. I can't look at the feels like I had like that far, so I have no idea what it's going to feel like tomorrow night. But towards the end of the game, it'll drop down to almost 20. So it's not counting in the wind chill. It's not counting in potential snow. Mm-hmm. There is no snow in the forecast. It's just cloudy. But take that what you will.
Take that what you will. Jimmy tweets in as we're talking here. Bills, 49ers. Sal Capaccio going to be joining the show here in just under 10 minutes as the Bills finally get back to work. They deserve the bye. They needed the bye. Doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. But Jimmy tweets in, how have you guys not mentioned McCaffrey? He alone can kill the Bills. He's my only quote-unquote worry this week. And to that point, and I responded to Jimmy as well, he has been good, and he doesn't look healthy.
He looks like a guy that's having, what is it, tendonitis or something like that? Or
yeah, it's tendonitis in both of his ankles Achilles. And it's not, he doesn't look right up to this point. Against Green Bay, he had 11 rushes for 31 yards, a good for 2.8. Average. Seattle, much better, 19 for 79 at 4.2 average, but then against Tampa Bay, his first game back, 13 for 39, a 3.0 average. And then in receiving, he's been fine. Tampa Bay was much better. He did have that one long 30-yard pass, but outside of that, he doesn't really look all that dangerous. This is not Derrick Henry. This is not Saquon Barkley. This is not even Jonathan Taylor when you played him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that is not healthy, like most of their team, and he's been a big reason why they haven't been good this year is that he hasn't been there. And now that he is there, it's still not great.
I really wonder. He's
also a big thing on that, too. If they don't have Trent Williams again for this game, shot. He is a big – him and George Kittle maybe are the most important guys to their – or Kyle Juszczyk as well. So there's three guys, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk. If any one of them are out of that triangle, their run game is a real tough time getting going.
Thinking back to, like, our – what if conversation from like a month or two ago, Christian McCaffrey is going to be probably the biggest what if in sports. If like the whole what if he didn't get injured conversation, I think Christian McCaffrey might be up there for one of the biggest once he retires. Because we obviously don't know. I mean, he could still get healthy, figure things out, and go back to the way he was. But this span over the past few years of him getting hurt, getting back, like that's, I think that's really
That was more in the beginning of his career. He went through like I think three or four seasons without missing a game or dealing with injuries.
Well, they're right, yeah. But I'm saying like
he had his big pop moment. I mean, we're all talking about Saquon Barkley potentially being an MVP. Chris McCaffrey was that same guy last year with how dominant he was for the 49ers.
But I mean, look at his career basically. His second year is his first 1,000-yard season. Then he goes up to 1,300 yards with the Panthers, mind you, and then injury in 2020. Injury in 21, plays in 2022 for two teams, Carolina and San Francisco, plays all of last year, has his best rushing season, and then gets hurt or has like the tendonitis issue, which isn't really like an injury, but it's more so just a thing that popped up. Obviously he's had an insane career still, but it's just, I feel like you take that 2020, 2021 seasons. And obviously, like, there's COVID and stuff in there, too, so that probably affected things. But that was the year after his 1,300-yard season. I think we would have seen him surpass 1,400 yards or even 1,500 yards at this point had he played all those years. Because it's just more and more...
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Reps and more chances, but it's just
and that's
like,
the thing, too. He touches the ball a lot, so you do have to wonder about his longevity of his career. I don't necessarily look at him with injuries of like what could have been. We all know how good he is. Maybe his overall career stats, sure. But we'll all look at him and go, yeah. I mean, when he's on the field, though, he was one of the best top three running backs.
I guess that's
in his time.
That conversation for him more so applies to the stats rather than how he looks, because on the field he still looks like Christian McCaffrey. He still looks incredible and dangerous, but it's just not showing up on paper.
Yep.
I think that's kind of where I go to, because a lot of those what if conversations. you tend to look at what they're doing on the field or on the court or whatever, mm-hmm. and, oh, man, that guy looks hurt. He looks different since that injury, whatever. This looks like, you know, hey, if he wouldn't have been hurt, his numbers would be better, but he's still great.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. What do you want to see from the Bills against the 49ers this Sunday? Do you have even any fears going into this Sunday night's matchup? I'm sitting here. I'm feeling good. I just kind of want to see this team get a win. I think they will. We do have, though, some breaking news before we hit our first timeout. Daniel Jones has his team. He is signing with the Minnesota Vikings. This is coming from Jordan Schultz over on NFL on Fox. Going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, Sal Capaccio will join the show after his much-deserved vacation as the Bills get back to work later today. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Philosophically, I want everyone to come to Orchard Park. I want people to have to play in that environment. I think it's been there fortunate enough to, a couple times to play and certainly to call a couple games. I think it's a difference maker. I think that place, the weather, the fans, the juice, the environment, you know, everyone raves about the 12th man in Seattle. I think it has that type of feel and vibe. So I think that there's big goals, obviously, and I would want the AFC to have to go through Orchard Park if I were the Bills.
There is Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, also UConn's finest. He's like the only UConn football player I can think of, talking about hoping and wanting to see the AFC having to go through Orchard Park and Buffalo. Would be a lot of fun. We'll get a little bit of taste of winter in Buffalo potentially this weekend as a bit of a winter storm's coming in for Bills 49ers. But for more on the Bills, finally, I have been bereft of any Bills news on the West Her Hotline after his much-deserved vacation. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are we doing this morning?
Pretty good, guys. Ready to rock and roll on the first day of practice here, and it's Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, all the listeners out there, obviously. But we'll obviously hear from Sean McDermott in about an hour and a half from now. It is a normal Wednesday for the Bills today.
To you as well, Sal. Good vacation, though. How was the weather in the Bay Area?
Terrible. It was absolutely terrible. We hit. We get there on Thursday, and we had heard the rumblings of it, what's called a bomb cyclone. Unfortunately, it was crazy weather.
What?
terminology hitting the West Coast, and sure enough, we got there, and literally all day Thursday night, all day Friday, all night Friday night, it was terrible, like rain, just monsoon. It was record-breaking, like flooding. The airport, like trying to get out, they were redirecting traffic because of the flooding on the highways. It was terrible. We had tickets to Alcatraz on Thursday night. My brother was coming up from Oregon, and he couldn't get in on his flight because it was delayed. But luckily, the way it works, basically, you go and you check in, and there's like a ferry that takes you there. And we went on Friday and said, hey, we can't make it tonight. And they said, that's fine. Just bring your tickets tomorrow. We did the day tour instead, which was great on Saturday. By the time that happened, it was still a little rainy, but the rain had subsided. It wasn't the warmest. It was probably about 55 degrees. And then by the time we got to Sunday, it was much drier. Went to down to Napa. Obviously went to the Sabres game on Saturday down in San Jose, and pretty awesome. Got the win there. That was really cool.
What's that arena like there, Sal? Because I have it on my bucket list to get to every NHL arena, and San Jose is probably one of the farthest I'll have to go. So what was it like, the atmosphere?
The arena is kind of, I would say, similar to KeyBank Center, especially the scoreboard is exactly the same. I wonder if the same company built it. I haven't researched or anything, but literally, like, it's got the exact same shape with that little board underneath that you could see if you're on either side, right? They do the same thing there. So the scoreboard is exactly the same. The arena looks very similar. You know, a lot of these arenas do. The corridors, the way they were set up, the biggest difference I would tell you is, at KeyBank Center, they have this huge atrium, obviously, when you walk in, right? You can go left, you can go right, the escalators. When you walk into the SAP Center, it isn't like that. It's literally like this just massive staircase right in front of you that you walk up. Everybody walks up, and then you're right into the corridor area up there. And then as far as the atmosphere, look, it was Joe Thornton's retirement ceremony night. They did that before the game, quite a bit before the game, a couple hours. So they had a good crowd. I don't know if they normally draw that kind of crowd. I talked to a couple of people who said, yeah, they've pretty good support. Actually, and it was the people around us, a lot of Sharks fans around us, and they were really into it. So it was a good atmosphere. When the other team gets a penalty, so you know how, like, you go to, like, if you go to a Bandits game, it's BOX, 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 right? There's something goes on there. When the other team gets a penalty, they did a shark eating sign, kind of like the gator chomp. Think about it like that. And that's what they would do to the guy when the other team got a penalty.
Always a big fan of the gator chomp. That's one of the better simple celebrations in college football. Big fan of that. Sal, though, as mentioned, Sean McDermott going to be speaking here in about an hour. It's been a long time since we've gotten any kind of update to the Bills, of course, with the bye week. But then even to start this week, they've been off. You know, we've been reading some tweets here as well today leading up to the 49ers game. And one of our listeners, Steve, brought up, you know, pending McDermott's press conference, 49ers could be playing like 90% healthy Bills team. It's been a thought, but I think maybe some of us, including myself, maybe jumped the gun in terms of guys like Matt Milano maybe being back. We don't really know about Keon Coleman. What are you expecting here from McDermott today?
Yeah, we'll find out. I think the big question is, you know, Matt Milano and whether or not he'll play this week, but I don't think we'll get clarity on that necessarily. I mean, maybe Sean will tell us that they plan on activating him, but they have until Saturday at 4 p.m. operationally, so everybody understands. Matt is still on injured reserve, but they could activate him by Saturday at 4 p.m. if they're going to play him on Sunday. If they don't, that's okay. They still have till next Wednesday before his 21-day window expires. I think that we're trending that way. It feels like to me that we've been gearing up and building up towards Matt Milano playing on Sunday. Now, maybe the weather factors into that, and they say they don't want to risk it, you know, being at home, being in a wet environment, maybe snowy, a wet field, whatever. I mean, anything like that could obviously come into play. We'll see. But I think we're trending that way. And then the other guys, Dalton Kincaid, I don't know how close he was because he never practiced a couple weeks ago, but doesn't feel like it's something that was super serious. I think Spencer Brown was very close, so I think we're probably going to hear him getting back. And then Keon's interesting. Even if Keon practices this week, I wonder if he's in line to play because, you know, he's missed a few weeks. And typically the Bills, a lot of times, remember what they did with Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson when they both missed 3-4 weeks. They brought him back to practice. They did not play in the game that week. Mm-hmm. They gave him 2 weeks of practice before they actually played. And I just wonder, you know, if that's what we see something with Keon, especially with Amari Cooper playing and healthy, and we know that. Obviously giving his wrist a couple extra weeks helps. And then the other one to keep an eye on, guys, here is defensive tackle Dwayne Carter. He's fulfilled his 4 games on injured reserve. So the Bills, if they choose, could open his 21-day window this week.
Carter, yes, I completely forgot about him. On Cooper as well, though, you brought him up. They kind of did the same thing with him where he was limited for, I think, 2 weeks. I mean, he had the cast on his hand, but he was still practicing, just wasn't playing. And you know, with, I guess, a somewhat similar injury. We don't really know the specifics of their wrist injuries. They could do the same with Coleman. On Carter, though, Sal, glad you brought him up. He was somebody, when he got hurt, though, he was starting to ascend. Like, he was starting to become a player. I was seeing a lot on social media where a lot of Bills fans were maybe didn't love the Kansas City Bills trade. All of a sudden, we're coming around to it because they're like, no, we got Dwayne Carter, and he was playing really, really well. I think he has been somebody the Bills have missed in that interior.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, they've made a couple additions, right, since then. They have Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson, who they signed, and, you know, both have had their moments and played well as well. They still have depth in the practice squad, Ilianku and Branson Dean, who they like. So, and this is a spot where I think they feel really good about the top to bottom of their roster altogether. Decisions have to be made at some point, though. You also have Dewan Smoot, who's a defensive end, but at some point you hope he comes back. Maybe that's probably at least a few weeks down the road, I think. But I think they feel really good about where their defensive line is right now. And, you know, obviously they've given up some runs, and we know that they're not highly ranked and, you know, run stopping defense. It's not necessarily how they're built or what their philosophy is. It's maybe keep everything in front of you in the pass game and, you know, get some pressure on the quarterback as well up front. But I think that as we go forward here, there's got to be some decisions that have to be made and how they want to formulate the roster. And I do think, though, that Dwayne Carter becomes an important piece for them, and they would like to have him back and be a big part of what they do, you know, at the end of the season and playoff push here.
Looking at a guy like Matt Milano, Sal, he hasn't played a football game, an NFL game, in something like, 400 days or something like that? Like, how is he going to be coming back here? Is it going to be like a pitch count sort of thing, or do you think it's going to be full go right away? Kind of depends on today, right? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know if it depends on today. I think it depends on how the week goes, but I think it's probably already kind of I think, Josh, the way I'd say it is they probably have a plan already in place. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably already thinking this is what we're going to do, and that plan was probably formulated months ago based on making sure that everything stays on track for him. So I think this week is, does it stay on track is the question. But what you ask is what we're all wondering. I mean, I wonder too, what does it look like when he is ready to go? Is that this week? If it is, does he start? Does he play a lot? Does he play 10 snaps, 25 snaps, a full 100% of snaps. I mean, I think there's a lot of questions that have to be answered here, but they're all good questions and good problems to have, so to speak, because Dorian Williams has played well. Now, I've always maintained that when Matt Milano's healthy, he's the starting Will linebacker. Dorian Williams has played well, but he's the backup. That's what he is. He's playing in place of somebody right now. There's no difference to me than, you know, when Terrell Bernard went out and Baylen Spector had to play. When Terrell Bernard comes back, he's the starter. The difference here is that Matt Milano hasn't played, obviously, all season. He hasn't played since really most of last season. So you have a guy who's played well, who's had the time. He's in the second year in the system, and you don't. You don't necessarily want to say, okay, you're just never going to play again. I think there's got to be there's a role for Dorian Williams. Does that include three linebacker sets? Do they want to do that? If you do that, though, you're taking Taron Johnson off the field. I just think there's a lot that has to be sifted through. But again, you'd rather have this than be depleted like they were against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs last year in scrambling and calling people to come in who were going on vacation and retiring to play.
Speaking of depleted, though, the Bills' opponent for this weekend, the San Francisco 49ers, kind of has been the story all year. They finally got Christian McCaffrey back, Sal. He, though, hasn't looked right up to this point. I think he's averaging about 3.5 yards per carry, but that's mainly due to his second game. He had about 2.5 yards per carry against Green Bay. They're also potentially down Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams. What have you seen from the 49ers this year, up to this point? They're 5-6. Sal, this isn't the 49ers team from years past.
Yeah, so they have a lot of injuries that they're dealing with that we don't know how things are going to turn out this week. And considering how they've kind of treated the injury report and things earlier this year, I don't know if we'll get any clarity on what's happening with San Francisco's roster until probably this weekend. And mainly Brock Purdy, right? You have Brock Purdy, who did not play last week. Now, he was on track. Nobody thought he wasn't going to play against the Green Bay Packers. Guys, I was literally in San Francisco driving, listening to the Odyssey station, The Game, out in San Francisco, the sports station out there, when the news broke that Brock Purdy wasn't going to play. And they were like, holy cow, they were very surprised. No one knew that that was going to happen. And Kyle Shanahan said, well, he had a setback. He wasn't feeling well on Thursday. He showed up on Friday. They said, we just can't play. He can't play. And now you get through the weekend. Then he said, we'll see how it goes Monday. Well, Monday comes and goes, and he did some light throwing on Monday, and they said that he did fine, did some light throwing. So we'll see. But, I mean, I don't know. Guys, let's remember, Brock Purdy had a surgically repaired shoulder,
yes,
right? I mean, and what's happening here is it feels like and it sounds like it just has not recovered the way that they thought it would. So now you're dealing with a long-term situation with San Francisco on where that is. This is a guy that's played really well, but now he's coming up. After this year, they have to make a decision if they're going to really pay him or not. They don't have to, but after your third year, you can give a contract extension. He's going to want that, just like other players have as well. Look what the money that Tua got and where he fell, even with his injuries. So those are decisions they have to make. As far as Sunday's concerned, I don't know. I think it's very up in the air with Purdy. I think it's probably trending towards maybe Nick Bosa not being available. He has an oblique injury that's said to be maybe possibly multiple weeks. So we're, he already missed last week. Trent Williams, I think, might be more on the upswing for them, for him to be able to play. So yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions about what's happening here with the Niners and their injuries going forward.
Sal, sticking with the 49ers offense here, despite Purdy being there or not, what are your feelings on Christian McCaffrey at this point in his career? So far this year, he's only played three games and 149 yards in those three games. Like, what do you feel about him going forward here for the rest of his career?
Well, I still think he's an elite player when he's healthy. The question is obviously the health of him. He's only 28 years old, guys. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a guy that has his super ton of mileage career-wise on his tires. But he has played a lot of football, and he gets the ball a lot, and he has a lot of carries. And if you look back at his college career, I was looking at it the other day. He had 337 carries one year at Stanford. That's incredible.
Yeah. Right?
He led the nation, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Not in the nation. It was very high up there. He didn't lead him. Then he gets into the NFL, and, he's been a workhorse, even going back to his Carolina days. He had close to 300 carries one year in Carolina. Last year, 272 carries. So he's played a lot of football. Plus, you talk about the touches he gets overall. 400 touches because of his, catching ability. So I guess the way I would say it is, I still think he's an elite player when he's healthy, but I think at some point you have to wonder, like, how much he can really continue to go with with the injuries and how healthy he will be going forward, considering how much his body has taken on so far. It also feels like, you know, listening and watching, you know, people in San Francisco to cover the team there, they've kind of said that he hasn't quite been himself upon return. Like, it usually takes you a couple of weeks. And, you know, Bills fans, of course, hope that doesn't happen this week. It does, that you're like, oh, there's the Christian McCaffrey breakout game we've been waiting for. Obviously, you hope that's not the case. And, you know, obviously Brock Purdy's a lot better, and they're better when they have Purdy and a healthy Christian McCaffrey. They obviously are without Brandon Ayuk. You know, he has injuries. Their receiving core has had, you know, some injury issues this year. Deebo Samuel's had some issues. There's a lot of talk about what's going on there. So I think all of it put together, Christian McCaffrey on a healthy team with a healthy roster and a healthy quarterback is one of the most dynamic players in the league. I don't think he right now, 3 weeks back from this injury, and where they are, can be asked to carry the load for the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, so our last thing for today. We do have three games, of course, tomorrow for Thanksgiving. One of them, though, could set up an AFC East clinching victory for the Bills. Dolphins and Packers. I'm kind of there on the sense of the Dolphins might be surging here, but me and Josh were talking about it. In Green Bay, it's going to be typical, you know, Wisconsin winter, you know, around 20, 25 degrees. They've won three in a row, but is this kind of where it all kind of stops and the Bills can clinch their fifth straight on Sunday night?
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a really good game to watch. And I would say right now, I would pick the Packers to win the game for the reasons you guys stated. You know, Miami just doesn't have a great history of going on the road in the cold, but they've played well in some of those games. I mean, they were even in it in the Frost game, you know, in Kansas City for a little while. It wasn't like they played great, but, you know, they were there for a little while. They came up to Buffalo, obviously. They've had a couple really close games in cold weather, including a playoff game. I know, you know, Tua didn't play in that one, you know, specifically. So I do think that, you know, they're playing much better. They're feeling really good about themselves right now. But let's remember the Green Bay Packers are also in a division race here. And I know that, you know, right now the Detroit Lions are kind of, you know, they're sitting there at 10-1, but the Packers are only two games back and they play each other in 2 weeks, by the way. Right? I mean, like, the Packers are trying to keep pace here to still try and win a division. Packers are third in their division. If you look at the NFC and where it falls, the Packers are the sixth seed right now. So this is an important game for them. I think that even though Miami's playing really well, even if Miami wins this game, and then you'd be like, ooh, here come the Dolphins, they still would have to continue this path because they're two games back of a playoff spot right now. They have to kind of be almost perfect the rest of the year. Maybe they can afford one loss. Maybe a game like this, a non-conference loss, is something. But they still have the Jets. Obviously, that's a game they should win. They do go to Houston. They do have the 49ers. We'll see where they are at the time. They go to Cleveland, another cold game. That's another night game, by the way, in Cleveland. And then they have the Jets at the Jets, another cold game at the end of the year. So the margin for error for the Dolphins is very, very slim.
All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, you too. Sean McDermott at 12 noon today, and we'll keep everybody updated what's going on at One Bills Drive.
And there you heard it. Sean McDermott at 12 o'clock. Hope to get a lot of information on the Bills. But it is Wash and Fold Wednesday, so before we take our next time out, we've got some trivia today. And with the Bills taking on the San Francisco 49ers, they don't play a ton due to being AFC-NFC. And the last time the 49ers won a game against the Bills, 2012, our trivia question of the day, who was that starting quarterback? First caller at 716-221-4WGR. That's 716-221-4947. With the correct answer, wins a $100 gift card to Top Shelf Wash and Fold Laundromat. Drop off your laundry dirty and pick it up clean and packaged for you. Complete laundry services from a coin laundromat. Top Shelf Laundromat, because we all deserve the best, with three locations, Depew, Williamsville, and Tonawanda. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. We have a winner to our Wash and Fold Wednesday trivia question. Last time the Bills lost to the San Francisco 49ers, a 2012 matchup early in the season, October 7th. 49ers easily won this game, 45-3. And the question was, who was their starting quarterback? Alex Smith. Leanne from Lancaster got that right. Alex Smith this game, by the way, Josh. 18-24, 303 yards and three touchdowns. Their leading rusher on that game? Frank Gore. 14 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah, they whooped the Bills. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the Bills' starting quarterback. 16 for 26, 126 yards, and an interception. Just an overall terrible game.
Yeah.
Not good.
Just one of those days in the drought that you forget.
You hope to forget, but the scars never go away. The scars never go away. They just become scars. 803-0550 is the number to call. Thoughts on Bills 49ers this weekend? We hope to get a lot of injury updates on the Bills when Sean McDermott speaks at noon. Sabres also play tonight at 7 o'clock, hosting the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota, one of the best road teams this year in the NHL. How do we feel about the Sabres' chances? Really, tonight and Friday against Vancouver, how important are these games for the Sabres' long-term success? Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two rolls along here on a beautiful Thanksgiving Eve here in our Amherst studio. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Buffalo Sabres in action tonight, 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. will be the start of the Steve Foley Law pregame show right here on WGR. They play tonight and Friday. Also at home, that game will be against Vancouver, two of the better road teams in the NHL. And then the Buffalo Bills get back to work today. Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking with the media at noon. Hope to get a lot of injury updates today. We will see, though, when he speaks in just about an hour. Then we also got some Thanksgiving games coming up tomorrow. Josh, we do have some news out of Green Bay.
We do.
For the Green Bay-Miami game that I think is objectively one of the funniest things you're going to see.
So in a nice little press release type post from the Green Bay Packers, a limited number of tickets are available for Thursday's game due to the Dolphins returning a portion of their allotment.
That sounds like a fake.
No,
that
it's
has to
real.
Be fake.
No,
what?
No. It's a limited number of tickets are available for the Dolphins versus Packers game due to the visiting team returning a portion of their allotment. So in other words, the Dolphins players got all their tickets, and the Dolphins staff and everybody else was given their whatever amount of tickets, and then they were all actually like, no, I'm not going to go.
Now, and I want to be fair here, you can argue. It's Thanksgiving night. They're going to stay home with their families. We'll see when you get back. You could argue that.
You could.
I'm choosing to ignore it.
Because no other team is posting this.
Yes. And I am saying that no. Dolphins employees, their families, what have you, are like, it's too damn cold. I ain't going. And that is perfect for the Dolphins.
Good job, Miami.
With all that being said, if they win on tomorrow night, gonna have to pack away the cold jokes for a little while here.
This tweet.
Oh, no.
This tweet and the replies.
Oh, no.
It's not.
The replies are not healthy.
I don't know if they're a Bills fan. I don't know where they're from. Oh, they are a Bills fan. That's fantastic. So David tweets at the Packers here, but also tags the Dolphins. The Dolphins fans return tickets to their own stadium. No way all 44 of them are going to Wisconsin.
All 40. Oh, man. That's mean. Speaking of that, though, it is tough because the Miami Hurricanes as well, they play at what's their stadium card? Hard Rock Stadium?
Yeah.
They play there too. And, I mean, they've been a top 10 team all year. All year. Cam Ward's been awesome, the whole thing. And you'll see these home games, and just no one is at these games at all.
Mm-hmm.
No one is at these games. And they're a top 10 team the entire time. And it's unbelievable. Like, this is a team that, like, ran the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. This is also hilarious because I'm scrolling through more, and every single reply is a Bills fan.
That's good.
I have not got to one Packers fan.
That's good. We travel far.
This is great.
Including Twitter.
This person, Raider Nation, a Raiders fan chiming in. It's Thanksgiving. Take a break. No. Never.
See? But no, but again,
hate does not hate to the Dolphins does not take a holiday.
That's fair. But we've got to be fair. It probably could be one of the reasons.
That is probably the yeah. But just every tweet is a Bills tweet. Just soft. They wish it was colder.
I wouldn't even be surprised too. I mean, they're going to make this known. But I'd also imagine the Packers are like, this will be just funny. Mm-hmm. Take a shot at the Dolphins because of course it's going to be cold out. They're coming to Green Bay.
It's not even really
a shot.
It's
the Dolphins.
It's not even really a shot. It's just them saying, "Hey, look, guys, we have more seats for you." super cool.
They should have taken more of a shot. They really should have. I know it's AFC, passive. NFC, but they totally should have taken a shot.
It is passive aggressive.
Like, I mean, come on. Like, it is so easy. Maybe this is a little mean, but like, it's Thanksgiving. They could have just been like, we're so thankful for the Miami Dolphins fans that don't want to sit in the cold. We have more tickets. Like, it could have been something like that. Very simple. Oh, it could have been perfect.
There. Okay, so I'm
I really need the
I'm
Packers
now going in. I'm now going in on Packers Twitter.
Never been around Packers Twitter.
They do an item of the game, apparently.
Oh, good.
They're giving away an orange camouflage Packers hat. That's the most Packers thing I've ever seen.
Very Wisconsin.
Very Wisconsin. Good for that. I mean, hey, if you're hunting, probably is useful.
That's right.
Hat.
No, that works.
It's probably pretty useful, actually.
That works.
But it's just, I don't know. I'm just, this is my first time ever on the Packers like Twitter page.
Yeah,
I've never been on this page.
I don't hate the Packers. They're definitely like a known historic franchise of the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't think about them often.
No.
When I do, it's typically either because I hate the fact that they also... We talk about like the Chiefs having dark magic.
Mm-hmm. The Packers.
No team has ever figured out the quarterback position better than the Packers. And yet they have three Super Bowls in like that run.
Two.
Yeah, two. Favre won one. He made two. Rodgers wins one. And then you have the Jordan Love era. Of course, they win one and two with Bart Starr. But like, they've got like three all-time quarterbacks, specifically of their eras, if not all-time. And then Love looks really good. Not fair. Mm-hmm. You guys basically don't participate in free agency. This is not fair. And yet they figured it out. And then as well, I really liked the make of their team this year. So I thought about them a lot this offseason of their wide receiver room and such. They're a good team. Sal brought up, though, as well, like they're the sixth seed in the NFC. They're 8-3. Like the NFC North, I think, has arrived like a year early in how good I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more of just Detroit and Green Bay going back and forth, Chicago getting a little bit better, Minnesota maybe getting a little bit better, preparing for J.J. McCarthy next year. Nope, good now. They're just really good now, and it's fun, though. It's a lot of fun.
Speaking of the Bears, I just saw a graphic from the 33rd team.
Mm-hmm.
Odds for the Bears' next head coach. And Joe Brady is listed on there.
Oh, he should be. Yeah, 100% should be.
At the top.
Yeah, he should be. 100%. Remember, Ben Johnson's going to be – he's going to play hard to get.
You're right.
Remember, you know, last year, I guess the reported asking price for him was like $15 million a year.
Oh, yep,
which is incredibly high.
And that's not a slight on Joe Brady. I just thought Ben Johnson would be up there, and I kind of didn't want Joe Brady to be up there.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all that Joe Brady's on there. Again, we didn't mention this either when we were talking about the Bills winning games this year with the run game as well, but they've shown they can win games in different ways. I think Brady has taken what he had last year, which was a very run dominant team, and has sort of gotten it more towards the middle. They've made moves. They've kind of helped it everything out. And if Allen wins the MVP this year, which I believe he is still the betting favorite, he likely gets a head coaching job. I'd be very surprised if a team like the Bears or even Jacksonville weren't like barging down his door and dragging him away with a contract signed. I'd be very surprised, especially with the fact that I think Ben Johnson is going to wait for the perfect job rather than a job that will be his first one and maybe even his last. A perfect example here would be Brian Daboll with the Giants. Leaves Buffalo, we all got it. He kind of maybe stayed a year longer than maybe he wanted to, but he takes the Giants job, and effectively that job was you got to fix Daniel Jones. Made it to the playoffs the first year. But then they signed to a long-term deal, and well, in the middle of Dable's third year, Jones is now signing with the Vikings because he was cut in the middle of the season. You know, it's I like what Ben Johnson's doing a lot, or at least appears to be doing. I don't think that's necessarily like definitive, but it appears he's doing is no, I'm going to wait for the right job rather than the first job. I know a lot of these guys will also get nervous of the fact of well, but if I stay next year, does all of a sudden my stock dissipate? Does all of a sudden I'm not the hottest commodity out there and all of a sudden all those jobs aren't available? I think Ben Johnson then is also thinking, cool, then I'll just stay an assistant and I'll get paid a ton of money and I'll keep winning games here and I'll just keep being that guy rather than I'll leave and go to the Jets and be fired in 3 years. And then all of a sudden your stock is really low.
Yeah.
That's the thing too. Robert Saleh is a phenomenal defensive mind. And yet what do we all think of him as? Just a bad head coach. It's kind of where we're at with him.
But I think, I feel like the Jets is a hard team to look at that and say that just because they are the Jets and everyone understands, like, just because
even Brian Flores though with the Dolphins,
yeah,
that, we all kind of like true, we're like reintroduced to him this year, but he's been a great defensive mind his entire career.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying is like I feel like the Jets are more known for that. Like the Dolphins, sure, they're not great, but like it's kind of like if you coached at the Jets and gotten fired, it's probably not your fault.
It's kind of getting that way. It's
probably not your fault. Like, well, I'm not saying Robert Saleh was the perfect head coach or anything, but like. It just probably wasn't all his fault.
I mean, no. For Saleh, no, it's not all his fault. Adam Gase, though, exists. That's kind of his fault.
Yeah,
they hired him. I get it, but man, he was a joke. But that's the thing. I think a lot of these coaches now, I think maybe rightfully, are going to start taking the Ben Johnson route of no. I'm going to wait for the right job. You have to prove to me why this is the right job. Even though coaching can have a lot of arrogance, I think, to it. I mean, really, to be any professional athlete. In either coaching or just straight up playing, you have to have some level of healthy arrogance of believing I can turn anything around. But I'll tell you right now, like the idea of anyone wanting to actively take the Jets job and not being like the third or fourth pick for the Jets feels insane. I wouldn't want anything to do, honestly, with either New York team. I wouldn't want anything to do with them at all. They just feel like toxic sludge that I don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole.
You think Joe Shane has a job by the end of the season?
Nope. Hard Knocks kind of ruined that.
Yeah. And also, I feel like that Hard Knocks offseason is never going to happen again.
Man, I'm going to be so upset.
It's never going to happen again.
Albert Breer, I think formerly of NFL Network, I don't know who he's with now, but he tweeted something out a few days ago, too, of like, yeah, no one's ever going to do the Hard Knocks offseason. I hope we get to, and I say this knowing full well, I never want the Bills to do it. Start forcing teams like you do with the regular Hard Knocks. Be like, no, you're getting on this. You're bad, and we want to watch it.
Well, and just,
it's funny.
You know what? No, it's hard because, obviously, Hard Knocks, you have to do a bad team. But, like, the offseason one, just do any team. Because good teams won't care if you come into their office.
Oh, they'll super care.
Well, they'll care, but they're not going to look like idiots. They're just going to want to hide certain things.
You say that now.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think that, like, you went to a somewhat rookie GM on a bad team with a bad owner and a bad outlook.
Oh, I fully believe every
team. There was no way that Joe Shane was going to come out of that looking good unless he was able to keep Saquon Barkley and find someone to trade for Daniel Jones.
But here, perfect example. Good front offense, the Bills. How uncomfortable, awkward, and embarrassing is the whole J.D. McKissick thing from a few years ago?
Ooh.
Every team goes through super uncomfortable, embarrassing moments every offseason. I'm convinced of that.
I forgot
about that. We just don't find out about them because good teams are good at hiding them, and they recover and do other good things that make you forget about it.
Right.
But could you imagine the offseason edition of Hard Knocks being there and the J.D. McKissick thing is happening?
the phone call. Oh, okay, great. Sounds good, J.D. We'll see you soon. Like 10 minutes later. Hello? Oh, you don't want to come here.
And then could you imagine something like similar like Saquon Barkley where the entire front office coaching staff is like preparing for J.D. McKissick and they're watching NFL Network and it's J.D. McKissick's going back to Washington.
Yeah.
And you have to watch your GM, who you think is very smart and you think is doing a great job, have to have an awestruck, look on his face. I'm not saying that's what happened.
Right.
But all of a sudden, the mask is taken off of how good things are run. I think everything with sports is a lot of tripping, falling, mistakes, and then success.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people bring this up with the draft when criticizing Brandon Bean, where, he nailed Josh Allen. And that's it. When objectively it's not true, he's hit a lot of late round picks. They've also had some first and second round picks who have been very good. I've brought up Osiris Torrance constantly about how second round pick, and he started every game since Greg Rousseau has turned out to be a great player. But could you also, that too, 2018, that draft. I'm convinced. I'll never know. Almost definitely will never know. I think the Bills had Sam Darnold as their number one quarterback. What if all of a sudden we're seeing an interview where they're talking about, I don't know about Allen. I don't know. I don't know. Now all of a sudden they go from, they look like geniuses now because nobody had cameras in there. Nobody was a fly on the wall. Until now, we're all of a sudden, here, perfect example is with the Giants. How uncomfortable was this year for Daniel Jones? Because we knew how much Brian Daboll, love in his eyes listening to Drake May.
Yeah.
Just right on the board and talk.
Looking back now, imagine they draft Drake May. Granted, who would he throw to? But you draft Drake
Who's
May.
Who's he throwing to now?
Well, that's fair.
Kind of making it work. Not
that's
really,
true.
But kind of.
And, man, the Giants were one they literally just not signing Daniel Jones, they could have been in such a better position.
Oh, 100%.
And now they have to go into a bad quarterback class with no quarterback. You almost feel bad for him. See, the Giants, I kind of feel bad for.
I do because of Dable and Shane.
Yeah, the Jets, not so much.
Yeah, but I do because of the Buffalo connections of...
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Although, I mean, like, they could be up there for the Shador Sanders, quote-unquote, sweepstakes. I don't think he's, like, that kind of quarterback prospect. He is the best one, in my opinion, of this draft class. Him and then Cam Ward, and then I think there is a bit of a steep decline.
Mm-hmm.
They could be there for it. They have Malik Nabers. I think that is attractive to any quarterback. Like, even if Deion Sanders and Shador Sanders don't necessarily want him to play for the Giants, that is attractive of, all right, well, you're going to have Nabers. You're going to have somebody to throw to that's really, really good. They just have to figure everything else out, mm-hmm. which... If you nail the head coach, you can turn that around pretty quickly. The Giants were lucky year one. Again, their biggest problem was signing Daniel Jones after that. That'd have been like the Bills breaking the playoff drought and then deciding, let's say they beat Jacksonville in that wild card game.
Man.
We're gonna now sign Tyrod Taylor.
Let's run it back. Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden, you're sitting there going, oh, I don't know about that. Like, yeah. I know Sneaky Joe is a huge Tyrod Taylor fan. I love Tyrod, especially mm-hmm. for the few years he was here. He was great. He was kind of that sneaky addition, so there was also that added bonus of, man, the Bills were on top of this. Like, they were there. It felt like they were progressing. A lot of that goodwill dies when he all of a sudden gets, like, a Ryan Fitzpatrick contract where you're like, no, I just heard about this 2018 class, how good it was. You've been setting yourself up for this. What are we doing?
Right.
And do we know the Bills wouldn't have done that if they won a playoff game? We don't. We have no idea.
We would have if Hard Knocks would have been.
Back to the offseason Hard Knocks. Now, all of a sudden, maybe we all of a sudden see the coaching staff is sitting there, and it's a real split on, like, no, we need to keep Tyrod. You know, we were right there in the playoff game. Like, we need to add more offensive pieces, or we need this, not a quarterback. We got our quarterback. But uncomfortable as hell. Yeah. I don't want any of that.
Especially if that
my favorite team.
Especially if all that conversation goes on and then they don't go out and then they do go out and draft Allen, if that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Man, see this is why. Like, this is why you need to have the in-season or off-season edition of Hard Knocks, because then you find out all this stuff and it creates so much drama and storyline and everything.
100%. I just never want it on my favorite team.
Well, that's it. We've established
that. I want it,
but
for,
like,
everybody
the
else.
The Giants ruined
team.
It for everyone because they were so bad so quickly. Like, if it would have just been, like, kind of bad, then it would have been fine. And teams would have been like, well, we still don't love it, but we'll do it, I guess. But now it's like every team wants nothing to do with it, and it's all the Giants' fault.
Yeah, they really...
They went out there and they said, oh, you want this to be Hard Knocks? Cool. Watch this.
We are absolutely going to cause
many people in this organization to be fired.
We're
going to let go of a star running back that's going to become the potential front runner for the MVP next season. We're also not going to draft the best quarterback in the draft class. And I say that kind of confidently because I think Drake May is kind of taking that over. I'm not fully there yet. But for
right now, the rookie year, I think it goes Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb Williams.
I think
JJ McCarthy not having
played yet. If
you
look with what Drake May has to work with, though, and what he's done, I think you can argue that he should be higher up on that. And what he's
shown. Who is Bo Nix throwing to?
Cortland Sutton.
And then who? Little Jordan Humphrey?
Cortland Sutton.
I love him. I love him. He's a Longhorn, baby. I love him. But be serious.
But who's Drake May throwing to?
I mean, also nobody.
Exactly.
At least
Bo Nix has one person. Drake May is nobody. I'm surprised he hasn't thrown it up in the air and caught it himself yet.
He kind of did with that Hunter Henry touchdown. He just kind of lofted it up there.
Yeah.
That was a prayer ball on fourth down. Jeffrey tweets in, by the way, I feel like the Giants is the landing spot for Sam Darnold in the offseason.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious, though.
100%.
That'd be so funny.
I'll say 100%. I'll even push it to 1,000% if Brian Daboll's still the head coach.
I was about to say, because if our thoughts and theories are correct, what if, you know, how much did Brian Daboll like Sam Darnold over Josh Allen in that draft class? We're going to find out this offseason if Dable's still there. Was Shane part of that too? Was he part of that group?
I think so.
Maybe not. He wasn't probably the assistant at that point, but he was definitely in the organization. I believe
Brian Daboll, I don't think, was brought in yet, or he was just brought in.
Yeah.
So he was just brought in 18, and then for Joe Shane...
Because I think it was well known, regardless of where he was, Daboll.
And then Shane was the assistant GM in 2017. So, yeah, I mean, those guys would have also been a part of those conversations.
See, if I'm – who's their owner? John Mara. If I'm him, ride it out. Keep the two of them. Let them go get their guy that they've been waiting for since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that because, you know, they didn't want Josh Allen, but they were also definitely interested in Sam Darnold.
Oh, I think 100%. And I'll be completely transparent here. A lot of this also, I was a big Sam Darnold fan. Mm. And I thought he fit what the Bills were kind of looking for. His biggest issue was turnovers.
Yeah.
I think if he was put in a good spot, his development would have been great. You're already kind of seeing it. Like, yeah. he's performing well after having a bad start. I will say this, though, for the Giants, and specifically as them as a destination here.
Mm-hmm.
If he wound up there, you've got to make damn sure your offensive line is at least average.
Yeah.
They lost Andrew Thomas, and that was a big miss for a big hit for them the rest of this year. Their offensive line, though, past him is not very good. They need to be better there, and they need to add somebody else. Like, this is where all of a sudden get Andrew Thomas, get another get a tackle opposite of him. Mm-hmm. Then in like the third round, get a guard and just be like, Sam Darnold's our guy. That's our guy moving yeah. forward here, and we're just going to have a bunch of dudes, and that's what we're going to end up doing.
Right.
Because right now, you're seeing it with Sam Darnold. Once Christian Darrisaw went down, he is abysmal against pressure, and since he's gone down, the pressure rates have gone up, and his numbers have gone down. They're still winning games because I think Kevin O'Connell is the most underrated coach in football. I think he is spectacular. I can't wait to see what he does with J.J. McCarthy. But if you're the Giants, that's got to be uno numero one. Like, that's got to be the thing. Offensive line needs to be better.
Yeah.
Needs to be better. And I would say that for most teams. It's not sexy, but as I will routinely say, oftentimes the least sexy thing in sports is actually the right thing to do. No. It's fun to draft a wide receiver fifth, and sometimes yeah. it works. Look at Jamar Chase. You know, even Malik Nabers is really good. But a really good offensive line?
Malik Nabers is fantastic. He doesn't have anyone with him. Yeah. And he also doesn't have not just a quarterback, but it's nobody else wide receiver-wise.
Yep. But a really good offensive line, though, can fix a lot of issues. You'll also find out, too, if your quarterback is bad or not. That was the one big issue with Daniel Jones. The man could with the offseason addition of Hard Knocks, you knew your job was basically done. Throw the ball.
Yeah.
Push the ball downfield. And he just wouldn't do it. He just would not do it. I felt bad for him by the end because it felt like that was just that's who he is. Just not great. He is signing a one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. If you have not heard, that's been
how much?
Breaking a one-year deal. I haven't seen the actual numbers in terms of the deal. It's not going to be much. I could even see it being league minimum.
I was going to say, is it that crazy if it's league minimum?
No, I think that'd be right.
Probably not, right? Yeah, okay.
I think he is signing with a team just to maybe try to win a ring and just kind of like, I don't want to be out of football for half a season into the offseason. I want to do this now, so I'm here. But ultimately, I think he can be a backup quarterback. I do wonder, though. I think it's a fun idea that people have brought up, the idea that he could be the Bills' backup quarterback. I think he's already where like Mitch Trubisky was at, where you're just like, I don't really trust him entering a game. Like I mentioned, he doesn't push the ball down the field. Sure, he runs, but he doesn't really want to. He takes a lot of sacks. He turns the ball over. I don't think it's a very good idea at all. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on today. We're talking a lot of football. Jumped around the league there a little bit. Also want to jump into the Sabres here before we wrap up today. But after a quick timeout, we're going to get a look at the weather. Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ, Patrick Hammer, will join the show as it does look like we're going to have a weather game on Sunday, especially some lake effect snow coming in Friday and through the weekend. That's coming from Patrick's Twitter just under an hour ago. He'll join the show here after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Break it down. Time.
You know what that music means? It's not a Friday, but potentially some weather activity. Not even potentially. It feels like almost definitive. We're going to have some weather activity for Sunday night football as the Buffalo Bills will host the San Francisco 49ers snow game. We just had our first one of the season just a few weeks ago with Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And for more on this, we do go to the Wester Hotline as Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ, Patrick Hammer, joins the show. Patrick, good morning, man. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you as well. Hope you're going to have a fun time with this winter storm coming in. I know you were on earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Do we have any like differing updates from this morning? I saw earlier today or even earlier this hour, you mentioned that lake effect snow Friday and throughout the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a really a close call for Sunday. Now, the thinking really hasn't changed since we talked a little earlier this morning. You know, it's Wednesday. Usually we talk on Friday for a Sunday game. This is Wednesday. So, you know, pinpointing lake effect snow this far out is, you know, it's not an exact science just yet. But here, the overall weather pattern is this, is that for the first time this season, we're going to get a plunge of cold air, and our first lake effect event of the year will happen this weekend. It will be in the process of winding down during Sunday afternoon into Sunday night and for kickoff. And right now, it appears that the heavy lake effect snow, and this could affect any travelers that may be coming you know, into town for post-Thanksgiving or into town for the game, and you're traveling on the 90, the thruway from Erie up towards, you know, Angola is going to be very snowy Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's where the worst of the weather is going to be. This is going to be a traditional snowbelt location for, you know, the typical snowbelts of Western New York. That's where the most snow is going to fall. The question is that it appears that this band of snow will migrate north a bit on Saturday, which could get it into the South Towns and Southern Tier. I mean, Buffalo Metro. And then as it heads back to the Southern Tier, it's going to snow again in Orchard Park, you know, during the day. But we still think that that heavy, you know, whiteout conditioned snow band should be south of the stadium before kickoff. But it's going to be close, I will say. It's going to be, you know, something we got to watch. It will be cold. It will be breezy. There will be snow on the ground. And falling snow is a possibility for the game.
What is it in terms of, because I know a lot of things, a lot of the talk so far has been Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What is it in terms of beyond that? Like Sunday night when people are leaving the game and then into the next week, is it too far ahead to see, you know, is it going to warm up and all that, whatever falls is going to melt, or is it going to just kind of stick around a little bit? Like, what's the next bit after this weekend look like?
Yeah, we haven't really had, you know, a December to start like this in quite a while, where it's going to be cold and it's going to lock in and it's going to stay a while. So we are going to see as we head into, you know, hopefully the snow should be wrapped up after the game. If there is any, again, it's going to be a close call. As we head into next week, the cold locks in and there will be multiple opportunities for snow. Honestly, off and on through the first half of December, it's going to be a kind of a, this cold shot has some staying power. So we're going to see multiple lake effect events, snow possibilities, even in the Buffalo and the North Towns as well as we head into next week. So this is going to be the snow that falls will not be melting. It will stick around and it will stay below average temperature wise into the first, you know, 10 to 14 days of December. So it's going to last a while.
Last thing from me, Pat, real quick, because I just remember too, Sabres play on Friday night, and you mentioned the lake effect snow. Anything for the downtown area that could affect driving there, or is that going to be kind of in the clear?
Now, is it a 3 o'clock puck drop on Friday?
That is a 3 o'clock puck drop, yes.
Okay, so I think that that's fine. Unless you are traveling from the Southern Tier, you're going to have to navigate snow. There will not be any snow to worry about in and around the arena on Friday afternoon or Friday night. This really looks to be now. It could be into the you know, the kind of the third ring South Towns, the, and you know, the Evans to Eden to possibly Hamburg, Orchard Park on Friday late. But it does appear that it's going to be settling south from there. But again, the stadium, the arena will be fine, but, you know, areas to the south, if you're traveling from there, you will have to work through some snow.
All right, sounds good. Patrick Hammer here on the Wester Hotline, the chief meteorologist over at WGRZ. Patrick, man, thank you so much for jumping on with us. Enjoy your Thanksgiving tomorrow and enjoy keeping up with the storm. Like you said, it changes at times every minute.
There's a lot of buzz about this thing, I know, but I think we should miss it. But it's going to be close. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you, Pat. And again, that was Patrick Hammer there on the Wester Hotline. And do also want to get connected to our fans. We did have somebody tweet in that for Daniel Jones's contract, does appear to be a one-year $750K because he's still getting $25 million from the Giants. And if he's, and then I did see Tom Pelissero tweeted out as well on this that the Vikings will be paying Daniel Jones a little over 100 grand for the rest of the season if he stays on the practice squad. So that's actually where it's at. It's going to be a little over 100 grand. He's getting a higher rate if/when he's moved to the 53-man roster. That leaves the Giants on the hook for the other roughly $11.7 million. Yeah, makes sense. I mean, get him, and he was sort of seen as this hot commodity because he would be a cheap backup quarterback. He wanted to go to a contender, I think partially to kind of fix his image. He goes to Kevin O'Connell, sit on the practice squad, arguably do the whole quote-unquote learn in a good system, and maybe he can sort of sell that to teams in free agency. And then we did mention the Sabres there with Patrick Hammer, and great news for tonight. Tage Thompson officially back in the lineup. That, according to head coach Lindy Ruff, Josh, I'm so excited to watch him play again.
I cannot wait. The NHL posted, they made a whole post dedicated to the fact that Tage Thompson is back tonight, saying literally just, he's back with a picture of Tage. That is so good. Like, yes.
It's cool to have a superstar.
Let's go.
It's cool. It is always one of those things. It's cool to have a superstar that the league really likes. And that's something on Tage Thompson as well here real quick that I've always really enjoyed since his breakout year 2 years ago of just random national NHL, or I guess you can even say international because of Canada, accounts that would just like tweet some of his goals, and they're just like, he's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just the coolest. Like, his highlights are a lot of fun. He's 6'7", and yet he dangles people. I've missed him.
We've got some lines from practice.
Oh, here we go.
Paterka, Thompson, Tuck. They're back.
Makes sense.
Benson, Cousins, Krebs. Interesting. Oh, okay. Like that. Zucker, Kulik, Quinn. Also really like that.
I like that Kulik is going to keep playing center. I really
Malenstein,
like that.
Malenstein, McLeod, Lafferty. Don't love that one.
Who's centering that line?
McLeod.
Okay.
But I don't love that he's with Malenstein and Lafferty. I wish that Krebs and McLeod were swapped.
I know,
Benson was on the wing.
I'd like to see him up
Cousins
there.
Cousins was on the wing. And then you have Darlene Byram, Power Yokiharu, Bryson Clifton, and UPL in the starter's net at practice today, earlier today. That Zucker line, though. Those guys have been cooking. Like, Zucker, Quinn, Kulik, mm-hmm. like, the three of them together.
Has been working really, really well.
Yeah, and I really think it's Zucker. Like, he's working so much with Kulik, and even now Quinn, to just kind of get them going. I mean, for Quinn, it's to get back going. For Kulik, it's to start going. And I think that, you know, the stories of how he always sits on the bench with Kulik, that is, sits on the bench with Zucker after every shift and just listens. Like, that is so useful, and that's something that you haven't had. Like, you've had veterans with the Sabres locker room, but you haven't had a guy like Zucker who's been in the league for so long.
Your bottom six has been dreadful for
years. Well, not even bottom six, just a player like a Zucker who mm-hmm. comes in and has been successful in the NHL and knows how to get out of slumps, knows how to get stuff going, how to start out when you're young, like, what to focus on, what he did wrong that he would, you know, do again if he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so, it's so good to me. Like, the just using him on that line or just with those young players is just so smart.
Yep. One last thing here on the Sabres. We're going to get to your calls here in just a moment. I've been teasing the stats for how good both Vancouver and Minnesota are on the road. They're 1-2 in the league. Vancouver, they play Friday, 8-1 on the road. Great. Minnesota, just behind them, 9-1-3.
Oh, good. So they have more games on the road and just lost more in overtime. Good.
Literally the two best teams on the road. That's who the Sabres get in back-to-back games, Thanksgiving Eve and then Black Friday.
No, you can't scare me. Vibes are too high.
There we go. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Julian here. Julian, how are we doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Good, good. Real quick, yeah, shout out to the Sabres. Shout out to UB. All Buffalo sports fan is coming soon. So, yeah, man, great time to be a Buffalo fan. I got three questions. One of them, what will be Matt Milano's snap count when he comes back, if it's going to be this week or next week? Personally, I mean, I love Matt Milano, one of my favorite defensive players since he got here. But Dorian Williams, I believe he has the most tackles on the team. And, I mean, Terrell Bernard always makes a play every week. So, just curious on what you guys think will be his snap count. What else? Running back room. I love James Cook as well, but has he done enough to earn a contract? I believe this is his contract year after this season. Has he done enough this year to earn that contract, or are we rolling with Ray Davis? And one more, Sean McDermott. I believe he kind of won the fans over, but in the playoffs, I mean, I'm already saying 18-2 for the season. We'll win the Super Bowl, but hypothetically, if he drops another game in the playoffs, I mean, does those Mafia go to Orchard Park and pitchforks and torches? You guys tell me.
Looking like a scene from Draft Day. Julian, man, thanks for the call. When they go to the GM's office with signs, yep. He's got to go and stuff like that. I mean, if they lose in the playoffs, look, ultimately that's going to be a conversation, especially, Julian, if it's in the divisional round again. In terms of tackles, Dorian Williams, you're 100% right. He leads the team by 30, Josh. He leads them by 30.
Wow.
He's at 95. Number two is DeMar Hamlin at 65. Now, I will say Terrell Bernard has missed a number of games. He's in third at 57. But, yes, Dorian Williams leads the team in tackles with 95. In terms of Milano's snap count, I don't necessarily have like a definitive number. I do think he'll be on a bit of a pitch count. They will kind of bring him along. Not necessarily slowly, but I would say they're not going to rush it. They are going to, I think, take their time to do so to make sure he's 100%. Now, it does help. It's not a lower body injury he's coming back from. It's an upper body injury, so there's kind of hope that he can kind of hit the ground running and go. We talked to Sal a little bit. He mentioned it does seem to be trending in the direction that he'll come back for Sunday. We'll know later on in the week if that's definitive. And if not, I would imagine it would have to be next week by Wednesday when they take on the Rams. James Cook, on that point, I don't think they are. I don't think they are. This team's kind of shown you they're going to draft running backs relatively early.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not first round, but second to like fourth round. They'll draft those guys and then kind of move through there, and then they'll move these guys out as they go. You saw it with Singletary and Moss, and now they're at James Cook and Ray Davis.
I do wonder, though, with Singletary and Moss specifically, I don't think those are great examples because James Cook has looked a lot better than both of them.
Oh, he has. Don't get me wrong.
That's where I think it's different.
But he's not Saquon Barkley. He's not Christian McCaffrey.
Sure.
He's not Derrick Henry, which makes him very, I guess, he could be collateral damage of just it's your position. I also will say the offensive line is much better than when those two were here, when Zach Moss and Devin Singletary were. I think the offensive line is much better.
He does have 1 year left on his rookie deal, so there isn't you don't have to figure it out this offseason necessarily, but it is definitely going to be a topic. And there is if they want to sign him back, there is potential there for them to do it this offseason. So it's not out of the picture entirely, but like, I don't think that's one of those moves where it's like, I think you make that decision next year at this time.
Yeah. I love James Cook. I think he's been great again. Mm-hmm. 10 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns this year, I think 11 total. But I'm never really for that, especially, again, you can kind of just draft these guys in the second to the fifth round even and get really, really good value out of them.
I don't think the comparison to Singletary and Moss is correct, because if they do let Cook go, it'll be more so of the money thing rather than the,
I can understand that. I fully believe that's what they do, though.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I agree. I think both James Cook and Ray Davis are better, but I think that they're like, oh, that's cool, but we're going to end up moving off of both of you eventually.
Yeah.
Even when they took Ray Davis, 24 years old, they kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
This is one, maybe two contracts for your NFL career as a running back. Also, some news for tomorrow's games, the Thanksgiving games. Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito, right for him, officially listed as questionable as they will take on Dallas. 803-0550 is the number to call. We've got a few more minutes here before we send it over to Sabres Live. But before that, we're going to hit a timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which of course is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And we are going to get connected to our fans one last time here, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com as we go to the phones. Anthony on the line. Anthony, how are we doing today?
Good, boys. How you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Doing good.
All right, quick question. Do you guys think you should just draft a running back every year or so? Because even at the highest level, like Saquon Barkley is completely replaceable.
I think that's right, Anthony. Thanks for the call, man. Because I've been seeing the stats, too, a lot of like, look what Saquon Barkley's doing. Like, he's got 200 rushing yards more than the entire Giants team. And everyone's like, cool. Like, they completely replaced his production with like a seventh-round guy and a fifth-round guy.
Yeah.
Like, Saquon is an individual, amazing player.
Right.
The Giants rushing attack, kind of around the same.
Yeah. And granted, you have to do it with more players at that point, but at the same time, you're still getting the same production.
Yeah. I wouldn't draft one every year, Anthony. I would get close, though.
I think he did say every other.
But every other year would be perfect.
Still. Like, I think that or every, like, 3 years. Like, once, one out of the three.
And you kind of keep that rotation of younger guys, don't have that wear and tear, haven't had the amount of carries, depending on the school they went to. And you should be good. Like I was bringing up in the break here because we saw Anthony's call on hold. I really like the Kansas running back, Devin Neal. I was I watched a little bit of Kansas, Colorado, where Colorado, man, just way to waste all the goodwill you built up. Good job, guys.
Just go get Ashton Jeantee and see what happens.
He's going to be a first round pick.
I know he is. That's what I'm saying.
Well, because the Cowboys pick early. So like, he's definitely going to be a first round pick. He's very good. A lot of fun to play. And Boise plays on Friday.
Hypothetical situation. He is on the board, the Bills are on the clock. Take him?
No, I don't want to go through this ever again. Do not give me the Travis Etienne years all over again.
I was all over the Bills. I wanted them to take Travis Etienne so bad that draft.
Marcel-Louis Jacques, who now covers the Dolphins for ESPN, I know he was a big fan of Etienne's too coming out of Clemson. Oh, those were the worst draft years ever. Because then it was, you'd see the betting lines and you're like, who's going to take the first running back? Buffalo minus 250. And you're like, no, stop.
Yeah, but come on. Not again. Come on, think about it, though. If Ashton Jeantee is on the board, you got to take
him. I wish him well as I take, like, a defensive lineman or a wide receiver. I even tell him, you should have the Heisman.
Whatever. You got to get some help from Josh Allen.
You give him a call.
He can't do it all himself.
You give him a call and you say, hey.
You got robbed, brother.
You got robbed, but I'm going to draft a wide receiver.
Yeah, but like also you're going to get robbed again here. I'm not taking you first overall. I wanted to get that off my chest. It felt rude not to kind of deal.
This is a courtesy call.
Oh, man. Tough for him. That's going to do it for me and Josh. We will not be back on tomorrow, of course, with it being Thanksgiving. Sal Capaccio will have you on Friday, as I believe Patrick Hammer will likely join him again, and Bills head coach Sean McDermott. And then, of course, coming up later tonight, the Sabres are in action, finally, back at KeyBank Center for a nice Thanksgiving Eve game. 6 p.m. pregame, the Steve Foley Law pregame, for a 7 p.m. puck drop as they take on the Minnesota Wild. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is WGR.